None of us choose dysfunction. None of us wake up one day and go, I'd really like to be a part of a dysfunctional family. I'd really like to have a dysfunctional relationship. I'd really like to go to work and be a part of a dysfunctional team. No one chooses that, but often it is something that just starts to become a part of our world, and we don't realize the impact of it until it's too late. Number one to know if you've got elements of or high dysfunction in your team is you start to notice amongst one or more people, there's an inattention to results. If you don't have that level of transparency, it creates a lot of confusion in your team. And then you wonder why when you say jump, they don't say how high. It's because they're confused.
Welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. If this is your first episode, welcome. I'm Larissa, founder of the Salon Owners Collective. Now, my question is, what happens when you realize one day that your team just isn't the same anymore? Maybe they've changed for the better, or maybe things have quietly slipped into some dysfunction without you even realizing. Now, in this episode, Joel joins us to break down, like, what does a dysfunctional team really look like, so you can recognize if you have one. Without the judgment, guilt, or finger pointing, he reveals the five signs that you might be operating below its best, below your best, and he's going to give you the exact framework to measure whether you're building a cohesive culture or slipping quietly into toxicity. So if you've ever asked yourself, is my team okay? Then this conversation will give you the clarity, the language, and the tools to find the answer to that very question.
Hey team, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Coach Joel. I look after our boardroom salon owners who are already turning over $1 million and are in the process of redefining exactly what success looks like for them. Whether you're over a million or under a million, I think many of us have had this experience before that you get so busy doing the do in the thing, or even being off the business if that's what you currently do as an owner. And one day you have this experience, it might be a moment or you're in a meeting and you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, my team, it's changed, it's different. And we hope that that's a positive experience, but sometimes it's not. And over the years, I've had conversations with owners just like you who are kind of wondering, maybe not in these exact words, but like, is my team okay? Is my team toxic? Is my team dysfunctional? Or are we good? Or are we great? And I think being able to answer that with some kind of evidence or science or rigor is really, really important, because at the end of the day, your team is the machine that moves you into your vision, whatever that vision is. And so today's podcast is absolutely about understanding, is your team dysfunctional? And so to kick off with, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the word dysfunctional. So if function means to work, then it's no surprise that dysfunction would have something to do with not working properly. So if I was to say your team is dysfunctional, what I really mean is I'm not judging you. I'm not being critical. But what I'm saying is that in some way, shape, or form, your team is not working properly. And so let's just take the shine off you for a little bit. Like if someone has a bowel dysfunction, then that means something to do with their bowels is not working properly, right? People that are blind, the experts would say that they have an optical dysfunction because something up there is not working properly, okay? A family that yells at each other and never listens to each other, we could say that that family is dysfunctional, or they have a communication dysfunction. Right? When a car breaks down, that's our language, it's broken down. But like, I'm sure if when you're becoming a mechanic, like they talk about there's some sort of dysfunction mechanically. And that's not good. So generally speaking, when we talk about dysfunction without getting emotional, it's not good. And when we're talking about your team or your business and we say it's dysfunctional, that's not good. Said another way, there's work to be done. If something in your life, anything, but particularly your team, is dysfunctional. And so maybe another way of looking at this is asking ourselves, is my team working properly? And if the answer is no, then maybe we have an element of dysfunction. But to answer that, we kind of need a little bit more information because none of us are experts in the world of dysfunction or even team performance and development, right? And so if you have a really clear vision and really clear expectations and really clear standards that define the team and it elicits, this is how we roll here. Or said another way, if you don't have that, then dysfunction could actually be quite normal. Like you don't really know, like you need some sort of vision or standard or expectation in order to measure against, to know if you're dysfunctional. And so today, very quickly, I want to help you to understand dysfunction so that you can identify it. And then if by raising that awareness in you, we can identify it, then of course it puts you in a position to do something about it. None of us choose dysfunction. None of us wake up one day and go, I'd really like to be a part of a dysfunctional family. I'd really like to have a dysfunctional relationship. I'd really like to go to work and be a part of a dysfunctional team. No one chooses that. Often it is something that just starts to become a part of our world and we don't realize the impact of it until it's too late. And so let's get started. I typically would be sharing with you a model. So if you can imagine a 2x2 matrix, so it's just four squares, two along the bottom and two along the top, right? And if you can imagine those two axes, like on the left side, like what that's all about is a culture that's people-led. And so if you're at the box in the top left-hand corner, that's like really high levels of people-led culture. And down the bottom, we've got process-led, right? So on the bottom right-hand corner, you've got, cultures that are process-driven and process-led. And what we typically find is that when you have a culture that is organically created by you that is typically quite people-led, but low on the process end. So examples of this could be is very friend-centric. Like, you know, instead of being the boss, you're almost like more of one of the girls, one of the friends. There's lots of socializing and interaction and maybe humor and jokes are a big part of how you roll. There's a real sense of care and community as well. We would call in the top left-hand of the four boxes, top left-hand corner, we would call that a communal culture. And there's some real benefits and upsides to having a communal culture. Let's jump to the opposite end of the spectrum. So we're going to go down to the bottom right-hand corner. So this is highly process-led and low on the people-led axes. What we would then say is that this kind of culture is like really about KPIs, and it's about the processes that make the business and the person's role really, really work. You know, often what we see in process-led cultures is a lot of individualism, like people really out there for themselves and following the process to bring in their share of what's required, yeah? And there's some definite upsides to that. We often find typically in sales, there's a really common culture. And the way that we describe this culture is we would say it's competitive. So in the top left-hand corner, you've got a communal culture that's really about it's people-led. And in the bottom right-hand corner, you've got a culture that's defined as quite competitive, which is highly process-led, and both have their benefits, they both have merit, They both have downside as well. And I'm not going to talk about the downsides of those cultures, but rather I want to talk about the top right-hand corner, because that's what we want to aspire to, right? Is we want to aspire to not just being communal, because there's good stuff about that, not just being competitive, because there's useful things about that, but actually in the top right-hand corner is what we would call a cohesive culture. And a cohesive culture is all about trust. And I'm sure you've heard that a million times before, that trust is so, so important when it comes to culture. It is what fundamentally drives, with good process and good people lead culture, it is what drives performance. And I know that's absolutely important, but just think about it for a second. From a business owner and team point of view, no one says, I don't want to be a part of a cohesive culture. And if they do, they're probably not the right fit for you and your team. A cohesive culture is driven by values. There's a real sense of belonging. It takes the best of both worlds, both communal and competitive, but it also then layers in the trust, and it becomes a place where people feel rewarded for being there. They feel like they can contribute fully by playing full out, but they're a part of something bigger than themselves as well. Which leaves us with the bottom left-hand corner, low on the process-led side of things, low on the people-led side of things. We would call this a toxic culture. And that culture will permeate into every area of your life. When you're a part of that and experience that, you go home and you gossip about your work team to your partner, and then you compare with your friends their teammates to yours, and it's really not good. In this particular culture, we start to see people having, you know, their own agendas, the team expectations or culture or standards, or this is how we roll here. It's just lip service. Like, it goes out the window. People don't really care about the other staff members as much as they care about themselves, which, like, in life, there's an element of truth to that, generally speaking. But I've also been a part of hundreds of teams where people would literally go without lunch so that their team member could go without lunch. They would literally spend a few minutes tidying up to help the team finish earlier before whipping off themselves. And sometimes we can do that, and it's reflective of a very communal or cohesive culture. So anyway, the bottom left-hand corner is called dysfunctional, right? And that is exactly where we do not need to be. And so if you're listening to this right now, I hope that you're going, oh, great, fantastic. Joel's kind of explained it in a way that makes sense. And we're cohesive, or we're actually probably a little bit cohesive, a little bit probably leaning communal, or a little bit leaning competitive. Maybe there's some elements of dysfunction there. So let me take a couple of minutes now to explain to you in a useful way what might be some identifiers, some metrics around what we would call a dysfunctional team. And if you want to find out more information about how we for our owners inside of Seller Owners Collective, whether you're at Seller Mastery or you're in Boardroom, we give you a diagnostic tool that you can use. It's really simple. It's questions, and it's you figure it out in a really, I guess, science-backed way. Where exactly your team is.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other $1 million plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
Let me give you some information about how you know if your team is dysfunctional. And then if you think your team is dysfunctional and you need more support around that, like how dysfunctional are we, then you need to go obviously a little bit deeper. So number one, to know if you've got elements of or high dysfunction in your team is you start to notice amongst one or more people, there's an inattention to results. There's a lack of attention to results. And so when I talk about results, I'm talking about, you know, KPIs, and I'm talking about targets, and I'm talking about client feedback. And like, there's some things that actually make the business work and move forward. We call them results, right? And, you know, having a culture where, you know, we do morning tea together every Friday, or we do a workshop, or we go away once a year to the awards, or all of that stuff is great and it's fantastic, but those are not results. You could argue they are a type of result. Like if we work hard, we get to go away. But I'm talking about if your business had a voice and it said, these are the results, that if you take care of them, we will always be able to turn a profit so that we can stay in business and grow the impact that we're having. The results are related to the finances of the business, because we live in a world where money makes the businesses and the world go round. So if you have staff members that have an inattention to results, like they're happy to show up to work and high five and have fun and do, they're happy to do all of that. But when it comes to the results of their role, they're like, ooh, they're demonstrating poor performance. Maybe they don't like having conversations around the KPIs, et cetera, et cetera. Then you know you've got early stages of dysfunction in your team. So there's five areas that help you to identify if you have a dysfunctional team to some level. The second is avoidance of accountability. So it might be that someone in your team, maybe they're training and by this date in 6 weeks' time, they were going to have achieved this particular skill or developed that, and they missed the deadline. Like for whatever reason, they procrastinate. They're not accountable in some way, shape, or form. They're not delivering where they were supposed to deliver. And maybe even worse than that is that their poor performance starts to become tolerated either by the duty or acting manager, by you, the owner, whoever it is. It starts to create that kind of behavior, starts to create an environment of resentment, because you know deep down you're supposed to hold your people to account, but you don't know why they're not accounting for what they said they were going to do or what we agreed they were going to do, but you don't want to push them because you don't know how to, you know, psychologically manage people. You're trying to be kind, but you also need to run a business, and it just becomes really, really difficult. And so when you start to see an avoidance of accountability show up in your team or individuals, that also would be a sign that the team is possibly dysfunctional. Number three of five would be what we describe as a lack of commitment. So they are not committed to a particular destination, whether it's around business KPIs, vision, quarterly or annual goals that you've set. So there's no commitment to that, or their own development of skill and career pathway, which is something that we're massive on here at Salon Owners Collective. You've got to give people a pathway. And so if they're ambiguous and they're just kind of like really apathetic, showing up with a real lack of direction, they don't really have priorities, both at work, but also in life as well. And you feel like you need to keep revisiting the same topic with this person again and again and again and again. Or maybe it's even showing up in absenteeism, like they're really taking the piss around sick days and mental health days, and their annual leave's blown out, et cetera, like they don't seem committed to either and or the business and or their goals and or their development. That lack of commitment could be a sign of dysfunction. Number four would be what we call a fear of conflict, which is not uncommon, particularly if you're the kind of owner that also has a fear of conflict. Like you don't have a framework or tools, or you haven't developed skill around having hard conversations. Until you do that, fear of conflict will impact and affect all of us in some way, shape, or form. And so I'm not pointing the finger. I'm just saying that a dysfunctional team is a team that fears conflict. It absolutely is. We, she, he goes around problems, whoever that is, manager, you, them. We don't confront the issues or the behaviors that are red flags, right? And the impact of not confronting those is huge. What is it? What you tolerate, you encourage. So like a slap you in the face, doesn't it? And so also that lack of transparency, that, you know, just want to be really clear that that's not how we roll, and this is how we roll. Like when you're the owner that's not doing that, that lack of transparency and showing and telling and helping people to understand that that's not part of how we roll. If you don't have that level of transparency, it creates a lot of confusion in your team. And then you wonder why when you say jump, they don't say how high. It's because they're confused. They don't know what this is all about, what you stand for, what you value. You said you valued that, but you can't like step into conflict and deal with the things that need to be dealt with. So that also is an example of what it means to be a part of, contributing to, or you could have a dysfunctional team. And then the last piece of the puzzle, number five. So we've got inattention to results from your staff members, avoidance of accountability from your staff members, lack of commitment from your staff members, and a fear of conflict from your staff members. Notice every time that I say staff members, I also mean you, yourself, the owner as well. The last one is what we call an absence of trust. And so how this shows up for your team is that they hesitate to ask for help. Like they don't ask for help. They would rather pretend like they don't need help so that they can engineer like everything's okay, don't look at me, like just maintaining perfectionism a little bit. But it also gives them the opportunity to conceal any weaknesses that they may have, whether it's socially, professionally, from a skills perspective, from a service perspective, etc. And that also starts to show up when you try to have difficult conversations, when you try to encourage them, they deflect. They're not huge on being at team meetings. And so that absence of trust, if you feel like that is existing in your team or your culture, then it could be a sign that your team is dysfunctional. So those are the five areas that we would assess in your team to identify whether or not your team is dysfunctional. And then using a particular tool, it's called our dysfunctional team checklist, we actually have, 13 questions that allow you to ascertain the depth of your dysfunction. Like it might be superficial and just like a little bit of dysfunction. And then what goes with those 13 questions, let's just say you're really dysfunctional as a team, is we have two workshops around trust building in your team, but also a resource, the 13 high trust behaviors for high performing teams. And so it might be that in one particular area, for example, your team has an inattention to results. Like there's a specific strategy on how you actually deal with that. So I hope that's useful. I hope that helps you to better understand that when we talk about is your team dysfunctional or not, it's not a judgment piece. It's not a point the finger piece. It's not a critical piece. It's actually just an awareness piece. Like where are we at as a team? And once you're aware of where you're at, are we dysfunctional? Are we communal? Are we competitive? Are we cohesive? Then we can start to then from there lead with intention and lead with purpose. And look, I've got to be honest with you, having worked in leadership, over the last 25 years now, one thing I know to be true, and I know you know this to be true as well, is that when you lead at your very, very best and continue to grow and develop in the area of leadership, your team, they might not thank you for it, but deep down, when they're at a barbecue on a Sunday at 1 o'clock and someone says to them, hey, you're still working for insert your name or your salon, the way that they respond to that question is something you'd be bloody proud to hear if you're a fly on the wall listening to that conversation. And so you might not get the gratitude and the thanks from your team with regularity, but if you stand for great leadership and you keep a cohesive, functional, awesome team at the forefront of your mind, I think every single day of the week, you win.
And that's a wrap. Now, if you are starting to see some of these signs in your team and you're ready to move from dysfunction to cohesion, then it's time to take some action. Now, here's my invitation. It's time to book a strategy call with me, because I know you've been thinking about it for a little while. And this is your invitation. And together we'll create a clear plan for you to get unstuck, move your salon forward, grow towards that million-dollar vision that you've always had. Let's see if Salon Mastery is the right fit and the right type of support that you need to get back on track. Now, we only take 5 salons at a time because we want to ensure that you get the exact help that you need. And we'll create a solid strategy plan just for you, given what stage and phase of business that you're at right now. If you want to find the link to book a call, it's in the show notes of this episode. You can find it on www.salonownerscollective, or you can just send me a DM. You know I'm always in the DMs. You don't have to figure this out alone. The right strategy and the right system can actually change everything. Until next week, same time, same place on the podcast. Ciao for now.